Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Business Accelerator call. This is Lisa Minniti with Accelerate Associates, home of the Accelerate Success Institute for Entrepreneurial and Leadership Development. As I said, you're on the Business Accelerator call that happens every second Tuesday of the month at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And today we bring on a very special guest. I know many of you are very interested in today and in learning more about how to save on your taxes and all that business in your business so that you can have more profitability in your business. But first, before we get started, I just want to also welcome all the new Success Circle members to the program, as well as the Profitability Lab members who are also listening in. And as you know, the Business Accelerator call dives a little deeper on one of the elements of the Entrepreneurial Edge system, whether it's mastering your inner entrepreneur, systematizing or monetizing your business, or executing your business blueprint. And we dive deeper so that you have the edge in the marketplace of today. Before we get started, I just want to also let you know about some announcements. On June 18th, it's a busy day. We have two programs that are starting. One is the Wired to Win program. The Wired to Win program is the online program, and you know, if you're really looking to learn more about your natural hardwiring, set up the right business model based on your unique wiring so you can really see the results, get clear on your purpose and path, and also tap into your innate motivation. You know, there's a reason why you may be procrastinating or not getting as much traction in your business as you want, and it all has to do with your innate hardwiring, which is something you're born with. It emerges about 2 years old and stays with you your entire lifetime. And on the Wired to Win program, I'm going to walk you through the three steps to understand how you are wired to win, you know, and how you can model or look at your business model so that it's in alignment with who you are and how you naturally execute. You'll also understand how to spot the hardwiring in others. Why is this important? Because when you deliver information the way the other person wants to receive it, you'll be much more effective, whether you're coaching with them, consulting with them, or even if you are you know, meeting with a prospect. And you want to know how to deliver that information so you're more effective in converting them from a prospect to a client. And there's a lot of relief that just comes from knowing, you know, if you're energized or de-energized, and what energizes you and what doesn't, and how to create a team around that so you're more successful and profitable. So that's going to start on June 18th, but registration ends on June 15th. That's an online program. I'll also send you the self-study version as well, so you have that forever, so you get instant access as well as your own AccuMax Index hardwiring report. So you can get more information about that program that starts June 18th. Remember, registration ends June 15th, that Monday, and you can get that at accelerateassociates.com/wired-to-win. So it's Wired to Win, the Wired to Win program. And also on Thursday, June 18th, in the morning, if you're in Michigan, you can attend the Profitability Lab Introduction. And in the Profitability Lab Introduction, you're going to get really present to your big contribution in the world, as well as the seven systems, profitability systems you want to have in your business. And so that's a full half-day workshop. Again, that is on June 18th. The next one is not until August. We're taking July off, and so feel free to also bring a business owner that you know that would be interested. And you can go directly to the registration page at profitabilitylab.com, profitabilitylab.com. You'll love it. And the spots are limited, so you want to register as soon as you are inspired. So I look forward to seeing you there. And let's see what else. I think that's it. I think we're ready to move ahead. So I want to introduce my very special guest. And Lori Itkin is founded the Options Lady, and she's also known as the Options Lady. And she educates and empowers women and couples to take control of their finances and grow the money that they work so hard to earn. She's also a financial advisor and a money manager at Coastwise Capital Group, where she builds customized portfolios by investing in a variety of asset classes to meet the needs of her clients. Now, Lori is also the author of the Amazon bestseller, Every Woman Should Know Her Options, Invest Your Way to Financial Empowerment. And she's a contributor to Daily Worth, Daily Finance, and Stilettos on the Glass Ceiling. I love that. And a frequent guest on television, including Fox News and KUSI, San Diego's news channel. Lori also graduated from the Wharton School of the University of Pennsylvania in 1990 with a BS in economics and a concentration in finance. So, Lori, thank you so much for being here with the Success Circle and Profitability Lab members.
Oh, so happy to be here, Lisa, and thanks for the lovely introduction. I love talking to other small business owners, because in about 20 years, we'll all be very large business owners.
Amen, amen. So we're going to talk today about how small business owners can pay less taxes while building their nest egg. Like, you had me at pay less taxes.
I know I had you. Who doesn't like that?
Yeah, I know, right? And yeah, absolutely. And today you're really going to show us how to pay less taxes while building a business, create your own retirement plan, avoid the urge to cash out the old retirement plan in order to fund living or startup expenses, and hire how to hire a financial advisor who won't profit at your expense. So this is really, I'm really looking forward to this. So let's start with how can small business owners pay less taxes at the same time building a retirement fund? Is there magic there?
There is magic, and there's many ways to get that magic. I mean, look, as business owners, we're always trying to figure out how to minimize our income on which we pay taxes and maximize our deductions, maximize our expenses, for tax purposes, of course. So, you know, I have to say my context for this is that I'm a member of a women's co-working organization in San Diego. We have three locations. It's basically 300 women entrepreneurs. And we're always sharing tips on ways to do things more inexpensively and you know, how to write off everything we can. Mm-hmm. And I find so much focus on that. But I find that in the midst of all this, we often forget about, like, the easiest thing to do, and that is to contribute to your retirement plan and make a retirement plan if you don't have it. In most of these cases, in most situations, you will be able to shave off a lot of money from your income. And I know in a state like California, where our state income tax is about 10%, and most people are in these high federal brackets, why do you want to give less to your own pocket and give more to the government?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. We should put it in our own coffers first.
Correct. And when you think about it, and you know, I know when I started my own business, I couldn't believe the self-employment tax. I mean, we are really penalized as small business owners in many cases. So it just makes me sick to think that a dollar that I worked so hard to get, you know, 45 cents of it may go to the government and I keep 55 cents. Mm-hmm. You know, it's different in most cases, but you get the idea, right? We're talking about that kind of money. So why not put the full dollar that you earn into your retirement account for your future and let it compound, because you're going to be investing it, and let it compound and grow without having to pay taxes every year on that money too, on that investment earnings, and you'll be so happy you did later on, because most of us can't run businesses until we die. There's going to have to be a time, a succession plan, where we step away and we are going to need to live off the wealth that we have accumulated. And if you don't start putting a lot of that money away now while you're working, you won't have much later.
Let's talk about some of the options, because I know there's a lot of business owners that I work with, and they're always putting money back into the business versus putting it into a retirement fund. The first question is, do you have a recommendation on how much they should contribute maybe even percentage-wise, to the retirement each year? And number two, what are the options for them to do that?
Well, it's a great question. First of all, you won't like this answer, but my answer is going to be contribute as much as you possibly can, okay? I don't want you to be limited by your own caps in your mind. I want you to be limited by what's legally possible, because every dollar you can put in there, again, we're shielding it from taxes today, which is so important. So let's just start from the beginning. Let's start the easy ways when you're just starting your business. I mean, you may be somebody who's been raising kids or might have left the corporate grind workforce to start your own business. Well, obviously, in the first year, maybe the second year, maybe even the third year, you're going to be having a lot of expenses and not much income, right? So the easiest thing to do is what I call, if you're married and your spouse is working, you can do something that's called a spousal IRA, whereas even if you don't have enough income, you can be, if you file jointly with your partner, you can at least be putting in $5,500 a year if you're under 50 and $6,500 a year if you're over 50 to your own IRA each year. Now, there are, in some cases, it will be tax deductible, in some cases it won't, but in all cases, it will be accruing tax-free as it stays in that account. So that's the first easy way. The second easy way is if you're single or divorced or you're married, doesn't matter, you can always be putting in to a traditional IRA and get a tax deduction in most cases. Again, $5,500 if you're under 50, $6,500 if you're over 60. Or you can be doing a Roth IRA. It's going to depend on your income, both either if you're married and filing jointly or if you're single. So, Lisa, in my mind, everybody, no matter what their situation, should at least be doing that every year. Does mm-hmm. that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. When you, and that obviously reduces their taxable income because they've put it into a retirement, and they have to do that at least in the U.S. because we do have some people on the call in other countries, but at least in the U.S. they need to do.
Right.
I just want to make that clear. Also, what are some big mistakes that you see business owners making?
Okay, and let's just make a comment on the previous statement. In many cases, it will be, you'll be able to deduct all that money off your taxes in the year you make the contribution, but there are some cases based on overall household income where you may not be able to deduct it. So just, you know, you need to talk to, either read up about it or talk to a financial advisor or your CPA.
Okay.
But in terms of the biggest mistakes I see business owners making, and again, this is, well, I see a lot of them, actually, Lisa, unfortunately to say. I see a lot of great things. I see a lot of mistakes. Number one is seeing people, you know, they've built up this 401k in their corporate job, and then they cash it out because they need money to live on while they're starting a business, which isn't yet generating much revenue, or you have startup costs. I urge people not to do that. Please don't do that. Do whatever you can not to do that, because not only are you going to be paying your state and federal income tax immediately on that amount, you're also going to pay a 10% penalty. And at least if you have something like $50,000 in your 401k, by the time you're done with all that, you may only have $25,000 in cash to use. And then you have no retirement fund. And I'm seeing, in particular, women in their 50s that have nothing because they've done
this.
So it's awful. It's really awful. Another mistake I see, this really can be avoided if you just either pay attention yourself, really be diligent, or, you know, I know it costs money, but hire an advisor. The second thing is I see where people have actually gone to all the stuff about setting up like a solo 401k for their business or a SEP IRA for their business, you know, something a little more sophisticated, and they end up not even investing the money. It just sits there in cash. There's one woman I know, she was an emergency room doctor and now has opened up a very successful aesthetic facial clinic, and she made a solo 401k for her and her husband, which you can be racking. I mean, you can be contributing thousands of dollars to that vehicle every year. It's been sitting there for 8 years, in a money market fund. She thought it was invested and it wasn't, and she has missed the 7-year bull market. Her money probably would have doubled or tripled in that time had she just been in a diversified portfolio of stocks. So making sure that if you are going to set aside the money, that it's actually invested in something other than cash.
Great advice.
Okay, and this happens a lot. Another mistake is, setting up a SEP IRA, which is another common vehicle, and failing to be disciplined to make those yearly contributions. Why I like a SEP IRA, and again, this is for people in the U.S., is you can be contributing between 20 to 25% of your Schedule C income in terms of your profit, right? So after your income and expenses, what's that business profit on your Schedule C? You can be shielding 20 to 25% of that from taxes with a SEP IRA. But if you're not making those yearly contributions, that's a huge mistake. Mm-hmm. Finally, related to that, I find the people that are most successful are the ones that actually make monthly automatic deductions from their business checking account into that SEP. And the great news is that between the end of the year, December 31st, and April 15th of the next year, you actually have time to adjust those amounts, right? If you under-contributed or over-contributed, you don't actually have to make your contribution for the previous tax year until April 15th, and even longer if you have an extension.
Okay, got it. And, I think some people are concerned, especially the startups, because I hear this. It's like, well, my business is making money, but, if I put it into an SEP IRA, I can't touch it again. True?
Mm-hmm. That's a very good point. You can always undo these things and pay penalties, but again, you want to avoid that. Why a lot of people actually use Roth IRAs, again, you can't put aside as much money, but frankly, Lisa, $5,500 or $6,500 a year, if you do that for 10 years, you're at least building a start of a nest egg.
Mm-hmm.
A Roth IRA, you don't get the tax deduction you don't get to shield the income from your taxes, but you can withdraw that money at any time without penalty. You can withdraw the principal that you put in any time without penalty, no questions asked. And the good news is that's at least accruing and building investment income without it being taxed every year. So if you really think you may have a need for a down payment on a home, or you may have business expenses, at least do the Roth and invest it conservatively. If you need money in the next 1 to 3 years, I probably wouldn't put it in stocks, but you could be putting it in bonds or even CDs, something, so you're at least putting money away and you're, keeping up with inflation.
Got it. And, I think that the idea that you gave, or the tip that you gave, making monthly automatic deductions is a really brilliant one. Of course, what they learn here in the Success Circle and through my programs is to systematize where you can, right? Systematize and automate. And so that, of course, rings true in my ears. It's like, oh, ding, 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 great idea, right? So that's
right, and you may want to so let's say you say, oh gosh, I have so many business expenses, I'm putting everything to my business. Well then, you know what? Can you do 100 a month? Can you do 200 a month? Just have those automatic deductions on a very low level, and then at the end of the year, like I said, you're going to have, 3 months, at least 3 months to figure out, can I contribute more?
Yeah.
At least you're getting that minimum that's painless. You don't see it going in automatically, and it sets up disciplined, good habits.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I think that's just brilliant. So you mentioned some of the types of retirement accounts a small business owner can establish. Are there specific cases where you use, any one of those that would benefit you, like you mentioned in a Roth IRA? Are there specific revenue numbers that you're looking at before you start one? Can you kind of go through that?
It's also if you're a solopreneur, you have lots of choices. If, however, and many of us in this situation where we start a company and then we think about adding employees, then you have to be very careful about this, because in some of these plans, you may actually have to make contributions for your employees too, which is, you know, a lovely thing to do, but that's a lot of added pressure as well, because you can't really predict where you're going to be revenue-wise. So I think what I usually suggest is, if, again, you're just starting the business, you know, do some of the basics, you know, do the traditional or the Roth, and if you are, you know, maybe you've been in going and you have a pretty good run rate, the SEP is really the next easiest thing to do, the SEP IRA, SCT. You don't need any big filings to set it up. It's like a one-page form that was for your, with the IRS, but it's very basic. You can open it at any institution, you know, basically any place that there's a brokerage account or an IRA. It can be Schwab, Fidelity, TD Ameritrade, whatever. And that's the one that allows you to contribute 20 to 25% of your profit. And this is used, I mean, this is the most common. It's used by, you know, real estate agents, lawyers, consultants. I'll be doing one myself actually this year. Now, if you want to, if you're in the fortunate case where you can actually sock away more money, you might want to do something like a solo 401k where you can actually contribute pre-tax money for you as the employee and pre-tax money for you as the employer. And that's the one that this woman I mentioned has, you know, her only employee is her husband. And so this is something where you really probably need to see a CPA or an accountant to help you set this up. Gets mm-hmm. more sophisticated, more conditioned, but the ability to really sock away a lot of money pre-tax.
So tell me about, we do have Profitability Lab members that are listening that do have employees. And what is the best option for them?
Well, I would actually, in that case, see a real expert that focuses on benefits for small businesses. You know, for me, this I would look into this, and when you're having the discussions about whether or not you're offering health care benefits or you have to provide workman's comp, this discussion of the retirement plan really should be integrated in the overall benefits picture.
Okay, great idea. What are the benefits? I mean, obviously, you've said that you want to have a financial advisor to help you with these. What are the advantages to doing that?
Well, first of all, the cheap way is to do it on your own, and for people who have already handled their own if they've ever traded stocks in a brokerage account, or maybe they manage a 529 fund for their children's education, or they have an IRA, whatever, you certainly, with something like a SEP IRA or in these other IRAs, you can easily do it yourself. There's so much free information on the internet. You can get a financial planner or a coach, if you need that. But frankly, a lot of the online brokerage firms you just give your risk profile, your age, and they'll give you sample allocations, and you can, instead of doing individual stocks, you can use low-cost exchange-traded funds or mutual funds. So that's the easy way. Now, if we're talking about more money, maybe you've been contributing to the retirement plan over the years, then it may make sense to have a financial advisor. There are many types. The kind that I am is an independent advisor where I charge a fee based on your assets. So it's a percentage based on your assets. So for instance, if you have hundreds of thousands in a plan, your fee is going to be anywhere from 1 to 1.5% of assets. But now most financial advisors make their money selling commission products like mutual funds or annuities. Mm-hmm. So you're going to pay one way or the other. It just depends if you want more transparency or, the service or whatever. But again, you should be able to do this either way. Either do it yourself, like I'd go to Home Depot and build my own stuff, or I'd hire a handyman to build it for me.
Mm-hmm. Right. And if you don't really know what you're doing, hire somebody else so you can avoid the mistakes.
At least initially. And that's what I tell people. It's because, I've written this book that teaches women in particular. I mean, it's marketed to women, but men buy the book too. It doesn't matter. I just use examples of women in the book. And, you know, I've had clients who have me manage their money for a year, year and a half, and then they say, Laurie, you know, you've taught me so well. I'm now prepared to manage it myself. And, hey, I feel good about that. Look, I've lost a client, but I've taught that person, you know, how to fish in that old analogy.
Right.
And I've done my work. I've done my job, and it makes me feel proud and good. So, you don't have to be hooked on to a financial advisor forever, and you should also feel free to change advisors. You know, it's your money. I would tell people it's your money.
Yep, good idea. Any way, are there, you explained some ways that small business owners can pay less taxes while building their retirement fund. Are there any other ways to pay less taxes for a small business owner that you might recommend, or you find that the small business owners just don't know about it?
Wow, you know, it's interesting. I went, there's a woman I met through HeraHub, the group I was talking about, and she started this group called Certified Tax Coach. And these are tax preparers or CPAs who have done this extra certification to find ways to really help small business owners take advantage of every deduction. And, I mean, I was shocked how much they found on my and my husband's return, because I'm pretty savvy about personal finance. And you have to be really diligent about this, because you can go out and spend, you know, $1,500 or $2,000 for this big tax plan, but if you never implement it, that's wasted money.
Mm-hmm.
But there are just things like, I had no idea that my husband was eligible for an R&D tax credit with his business. He manufactures headphones. We didn't know about the domestic production tax deduction. I didn't know that you can hold meetings in your home 14 times a year and deduct that as a business expense, right? Like, if you were going to have like a monthly meeting of your board of directors or what have you, apparently there are ways, instead of holding it at a conference room or a hotel and stuff, you could do it at your own home and bring in your own food. So those are the kinds of things that I just didn't even realize small business owners have access to all of this. And also, don't forget little things like mileage. There are all these apps now that will help you easily on your phone catalog your mileage. And I also, what shocks me, because I've always been so budget-oriented, is how many business owners really don't budget and plan. And there are, I use a free online service called GoDaddy.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be called Outright. That it's so easy to track your income and expenses.
Hmm. Okay. Great. You said GoDaddy?
Yeah, it used to be called Outright. It's now, like, if you put in outright.com, like outright.com, I think it was bought by GoDaddy.
Interesting. Outright.
Sort of like Mint.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Mint for business.
Okay.
And then you can pay an extra $100 and have it all go into your tax return.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Those are some really great tools that you're giving. What are some questions that people should ask when shopping for a financial advisor?
Yeah, so typically people find a financial advisor because a friend refers them. That's typical. And that's great. You should go interview that person, but you should also be interviewing two or three people. It's sort of like, you know, when I go to a primary care physician, I don't really care it's primary, but when I'm going to a specialist,
mm-hmm.
and I need surgery,
right.
I'm not going to just take my primary care's referral. So when it's your money, and when you're just starting out, it's not that important, but when you've started to accumulate some wealth and you want to give that wealth to your kids or, you know, that kind of thing, you need to be now looking for a specialist. And so some of the questions you should ask when you're interviewing financial advisors is ask, what is your investment philosophy? What are your investment strategies in a bull market when the market's going up, and in a bear market when the market's going down? And they'll probably have one, but here's the difference. If they can't explain it to you in a way that you can understand, that's a yellow flag.
What are you looking for? What
you are looking, you are not looking for roses in all market conditions. You are looking for somebody to say, okay, we've had, you know, a 7-year bull market. Not sure if there's going to be a correction or not, but you know, can you, Lisa, would you be able, if you want to have the highest growth possible over time, that's going to mean U.S. and international stocks, what's your appetite, though, for opening up your statement one day and seeing that your balance has dropped 30%, okay? Because in 2008, if you were in U.S. stocks, you probably went down almost 40%. But it ended up being fine if you stayed in because you recovered because you had a whole bull market. But you want somebody to ask you, how would you feel if this happened? Because I don't have a crystal ball in the market. If you can't tolerate, if you'd throw up if you opened up your statement, it was 30% down, then that means we can't have you in all stocks. But that means that if we have you in bonds or real estate or whatever or gold, you may not get those great returns. You may not beat the market each year. So you really have to paint the various scenarios and make sure that, you know, that you can live with these different scenarios because that's going to affect your potential gain and your potential loss.
Mm.
You also want to ask the person, how do they personally invest? What do they invest in for them and their families? All right?
Mm.
Because if they're selling you an annuity or a high-priced mutual fund and they're not in the same thing, what does that tell you? You should also be concerned about, have they made their own wealth? You would be shocked how many financial advisors have gone through bankruptcy, are in debt. I mean, do you really want a person like that managing your money if he or she can't manage his own or her own family's money?
Mm-hmm.
Now, they may not be honest with you, but you're going to see some body language there.
Mm-hmm. Great idea.
So, you know, it is no different, Lisa, it's no different than, frankly, if you were going to, like, get married to somebody, you know, you're past the nice dating, you know, the dating stage and all that. You've got to ask intimate questions about money. You have to get crass and down and dirty on the money because, you know, this is your money.
Sure, sure. Is there any way to spot if someone is may not be on the up and up or may not be in good standing, that is a financial advisor? Are there any resources available for people to check on that?
Yeah, sure there is. There's something, a website called finra.org, FINRA.org, and you will be able to search the name of your financial advisor, he or she personally, and or the firm, and you will see the first thing is to search individually. You'll see if there have been any customer complaints or settlements or anything like that. And it's something you should ask your advisor about. So even if it was like 10 years ago, there was a complaint that they made inappropriate investment selection and somebody, there was a settlement for $35,000, let's say. I'm making up. This is common. They're not going to volunteer this to you, so it's best if you come and say, what happened here? I read on your report this happened, and can you tell me why? Because in many cases, they did do the right thing, but in many cases, they didn't.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting. Wow. That's a really great resource. I don't think a lot of people know about that.
No. Most people, a lot of financial advisors don't even know about it.
Maybe they should look at their own.
Right,
am I on this?
Right.
Yeah.
And then you also have to look at what style of manager do you want. Do you want somebody who specializes in managing portfolios, the money management, or do you want somebody that's a little more broad that can help you with overall financial planning? You can't be an expert at everything. It's hard to be an expert at everything. So whereas I concentrate on the actual money management, like making deciding what's in your portfolio, making trades, hedging against the downside, generating income, that kind of thing. There are other professionals who may specialize in life insurance and annuities. There might be other advisors who specialize in a financial plan. You know, let's look at where you're going to be when you're 80. Let's sort of forecast what your business income is going to be. Let's forecast what, you know, your spouse's income. Let's forecast what you need for college for your kids. And they'll do much more comprehensive financial planning, but they might actually outsource the money management to someone else.
Hmm.
There's a lot of different models. Just because we're all called financial advisors doesn't mean anything. Some are, you know, brokers, some are investment advisors. It's very confusing for consumers.
Now, you wrote the best Amazon bestseller, Every Woman Should Know Her Options, Invest Your Way to Financial Empowerment. Have you noticed that there is a difference between how men and women handle their financial investments?
Absolutely. And, you know, I hate, first of all, women, so it's sort of hard to be sexist, but I guess I can make generalizations. And in the clients that I work with, absolutely. And most often, I mean, it's really almost straight across the board. The man will approach me as a potential client and want to know what his return will be, which you can never guarantee. And if an advisor guarantees your return, you run for the hills, because you can't do that. It's illegal to even say that you could. They want to know the return. The women, in most cases, actually want me to spend much more time with them, teaching them, well, why am I being put in this fund? Why are you buying this stock? Why are you selling this stock? They want to understand, because women just seem to be, again, I'm generalizing, so I believe me, the men or women on the call, don't be insulted. But it's typically they want to spend more time learning. And that could be because men are typically, the studies have shown, they're more confident about investing than women. But what I find really interesting is the women who have become very successful business owners. You know, they're used to, they've started out really controlling everything, and through growth they might have had to delegate. They're going to be in a situation where they're either at that point where they just want to delegate it. They're at the time where they say, look, they go, Laurie Aitken, she knows her stuff, I like her, I'm just going to let her just manage it, and she'll check in with me if she needs me for anything. Then there's other women business owners that are just starting that may haven't sort of delegating functions in their business yet, and they'll really want to learn and understand everything I do and check in a lot. And both are fine. You know, I want to adapt to what stage in your life you're in.
Do men tend to have more aggressive portfolios or
not at all? Oh. Nope.
Okay.
I think that's a myth. And they say women are more conservative, but women are more conservative when they don't understand. When they understand, they want to take risks.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is just what I found. It's my own personal experience, which, of course, is, you know, it's just my own experience. Mm-hmm. But certainly, like, women who have read my book, well, it's interesting. So men typically are more aggressive in the stock market, but when they read my book, because I introduce some option strategies which will help generate income to supplement your income, like basically the analogy is if you had a home that you purchased as an investment, you wouldn't let it sit there and just wait for it to appreciate. You know, a lot of people buy stocks or mutual funds, and they just want to buy low, sell high. What you would actually do is you'd rent out the home, and hopefully you're going to get that monthly income, and then you're also going to get appreciation when you eventually sell the house. That's what I do with covered calls, which is a technique, an options technique you can use on existing stock or exchange-traded funds. And so a lot of the men that have been trading stocks for 15, 20 years, they're very interested in this income generation technique, which also provides some downside protection if the market goes down. Whereas the women that read my book, they now understand this stuff. People say, finally, I understand investing. It's not a black box. And they want to be more aggressive with their money because I demonstrate how it can grow over time.
So we were talking earlier about ways to some tax advantages to building a retirement fund. And some people also emailed in some of their questions early. So I'm going to ask them. I don't know if they're specific to your area of expertise, but, you know, we'll see what comes up and what advice that you have. Now, one of the questions is, if you contribute so much to an organization, is it better to sponsor something rather than advertising? Is there a better tax advantage to be a sponsor? This might be a CPA question, but...
It is. I'm not a CPA, so I can't give tax advice, but I can tell you my experience, what I've done. So you'll want to look at that and say, because it's interesting, like if you make a donation to something, that may only be taken off your overall tax return, whereas if it can be construed as an advertising expense for your business, you can usually deduct that off the Schedule C, which could be a better, more favorable for you, because then you're deducting it before that self-employment tax comes in. But again, it's a great question to ask, and I'm really not positioned to answer it in your personal situation.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to be doing a lot of that kind of thing, definitely talk to your tax person. But
perfect.
A great thought. Perfect.
Yeah. Now, I've got some really great questions here. Can you? There's some discussion and hearsay that if you participate in crowdfunding, the recipient must repay what is given toward crowdfunding unless you kind of give a free gift for their contribution. Do you know anything about that?
So Lisa, I'm speculating from the question that the person is interested in engaging in a crowdfunding campaign.
Right.
Yeah, I am not an expert on crowdfunding, but this person is asking the right questions. And frankly, I think a lot of it, if you Google, you could probably find, at least some parameters of that.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a lot of, I think, here's what I would suggest in that situation. There are a lot of businesses out there online that cater to help people crowdfund, and I bet you could get some answers for free asking them.
Oh, great idea. Great idea.
Right, because I want to get this person as a client to do the platform for their crowdfunding.
Right.
I'm always, Lisa, look, my deal is I always think with Google, you can most cases be 80 to 90% sure of the correct answer, and then at least you know how to phrase the question for the expert so that you minimize time and minimize cost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What other advice do you have with regard to how people can really pay less taxes, but at the same time building the retirement fund? And I love the idea that you had regarding getting an automatic deduction. Is this something that, obviously your bank can help you do that.
Yep.
So that's the first question. Do you have any other suggestions or tips for people in making it easy to do this?
Yeah, so you can make it, so I have clients that do a whole bunch of different things. I have a client, so she's a self-employed attorney. She simply just makes her contribution once a year after she meets with her CPA. It's just on the list to do, and
mm-hmm.
she follows up and does it. There are others that every month they have it set up, like I said, from their business checking account to actually write a check, an electronic check, to go into their IRA account.
Mm-hmm.
There's different ways you can set that up depending on the institutions, but frankly, just call whoever your bank is or whoever is managing your IRA and see what can be done, because there are, you just set it up one time and it will be automated. So the one thing that people in variable incomes don't like to do is they don't want to have a set monthly amount, because they're like, oh gosh, I have no income this month or what have you. That's what makes it tricky, and that's why I said, aim low earlier, but don't forget to raise your contributions. Just like if you had a 401k at work and you got a raise or you got a bonus, you don't want to forget to put more in. You don't want to keep the contribution the same as you did 10 years ago if you're making much more income.
Mm-hmm. Good advice. Okay, so you can make one contribution, monthly contributions,
quarterly contributions, whatever.
Quarterly.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. So at some point, get that systematic way of contributing to your retirement fund.
Right, and what I like, I mean, my husband and I pay all our bills electronically, and like I said, if you can just set that up in your bill pay, treat it as a bill.
Yeah, good idea.
If you want to control over how much you put in each month.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, it really is. Because, you know, I think that's what business owners are accustomed to doing. You know, you get money in, you pay it out, right? And so to make that part of your billing process, I think is brilliant. You know, because it's not adding anything. It's just, well, maybe one check, but you can automate that through your
checking account. That's
right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Great idea. So you also have you give away a complimentary 15-minute phone consultation. Is that right?
Yep, I offer a 15-minute complimentary phone consultation. Ends up usually being longer, so but I'll guarantee.
Yeah, what will people experience in 15 minutes with you?
Yeah, so great, you know, especially for two things I would recommend. So for a business owner who has sort of neglected the retirement plan piece, we can talk about some options for them based on, they just tell me a little bit about, you know, their income situation, their family situation, and their business revenue situation and growth and all that, and employee situation. And I can sort of help them narrow down where to go. Or if they have, they want me to do a review, just maybe they have some investments, you know, somewhere, a brokerage account or, you know, old 401k or whatever. If they want me to do just a review to see, you know, are they being gouged on fees, or are their returns seeming to be appropriate for their risk tolerance and based on market conditions? So anything like that. And in fact, if people, you know, I wrote a book, and if anybody's, you know, interested in writing a book, I'm happy to share with them some of my experiences on that as well. Because, you know, that's not my business, helping people write books, but I really love helping people. It's been such a great experience for me. I just encourage business owners to write books to really show their expertise and really introduce themselves to the world.
And I do want to talk more about the book, too. But first, I want to make sure that people know where to go for your 15-minute phone consultation. So they should go to the optionslady.com.
That's correct. That's the best way to find me, theoptionslady.com. That's my brand, and I have a nice, cute little logo.
And they can reach you by email at lori@theoptionslady.com, and it's L-A-U-R-I-E @theoptionslady.com. And tell us a little bit about your book. Every woman should know her options, invest your way to financial empowerment. And when they pick up your book, what are they going to get?
Well, what they're going to get, first of all, let me just tell you why I wrote the book. So many of us have done career changes in our lives, and I, finance was what I studied. I was Wharton undergrad, as you mentioned in the introduction, but my life took me, you know, serendipity took me on a whole different career path, but it was always my passion. And so I found that I had started investing when I was 24 years old. I bought my first shares of stock with a $1,600 inheritance that my grandmother had left me, just $1,600, and it set me on a life path of financial empowerment and doing that, and it gave me the ability that I had built a $1 million portfolio before I was 40, and it actually gave me the confidence and security net to start my own business and change careers and leave corporate America. So they'll find that you know, story in the introduction.
Wow.
But what I go through is I just really am encouraging people to start and start contributing to your retirement.
Yeah.
And remember, don't think of it as just retirement. Think of it as you don't have to just be being in the stock market for your retirement. You can also open up a taxable brokerage account, which, you know, one question was like, I don't want to keep it locked in until I'm 59 and a half. Had I not invested like that, had I just spent or kept money in cash, I never would have had the luxury to spend 9 months writing a book.
Right. And what did you do in corporate America?
Corporate America, I headed up government relations at the federal and state levels. So I basically did all the legislative and regulatory work for different companies and hired contract lobbyists in states and in D.C.
Wow.
So lobbyist turned financial advisor. How do you like that?
Well, and what I love about that is that you really made the shift. And there's a lot of entrepreneurs that have, myself included, that had a very long and successful corporate career and decided to do something at some point in their life different. And so I think you're truly an inspiration to those people that have made that journey as well. So with that, you've obviously had success in your own life in investing, and I'm assuming through your book, Every Woman Should Know Her Options, Invest Your Way to Financial Empowerment. Do you go through different tips? What are they going to take away
sure.
from reading your book?
Again, you know, it's been called an investing book with feminist undertones, and I love that because you'd be shocked how many men read the book. You know, and I think it's just a lesson we learn about marketing. You market to your niche, and the others will come.
Right.
So they do learn. It goes. My goal was to write a short book. It's 160 pages with lots of diagrams that would be appropriate for a total novice investor, as well as appropriate for somebody who's been investing for 20 years. And it accomplishes both. It was a bestseller in three categories on Amazon, and I had no idea it would be. I didn't know what to expect, but the Amazon reviews are just so positive. And what I find is that I'm able to blog, you know, about the different techniques and stuff I've used, and so people hear about the book. And it is so gratifying, Lisa, because, you know, I always say I was an ambassador for my company, right, as dealing with the industry relations and government. I was trying to help my company succeed, help my company beat out competition, help my company pay less taxes. And now I'm doing that same kind of lobbying and championship for women and investors.
Mm. Yeah.
So they'll learn about, they'll learn that if their financial advisor has them in overpriced high fee mutual funds, they'll learn to even ask the questions. They'll also learn if you've, let's say you're divorced and you have a settlement, okay, or you've received an inheritance and you need to access some of that money. How can you generate income from that portfolio without drawing down the principal? This is a covered call technique. Very few financial advisors do it because it takes a lot of time, but it's something that you can learn to do on your own or find a financial advisor that will do it for you. And I find with people that are leaving corporate America or whatever and starting their own businesses, they need to generate some income from their assets while they're ramping up their business. And this is a great technique to do that, especially important with people who have concentrated stock positions. They've left the company. Maybe they had restricted stock units or stock mm-hmm. options. It's a great technique.
And they can find the book on Amazon still?
On Amazon, yep.
Awesome.
Or they can go to my website, The Options Lady, and either way they'll get hit to Amazon either way.
Okay, great. And again, just to repeat those, Every Woman Should Know Her Options, Invest Your Way to Financial Empowerment by Lori Itkin. And her website, again, is theoptionslady.com, or email Lori directly at Lori, L-A-U-R-I-E, at theoptionslady.com, T-H-E-O-P-T-I-O-N-S, lady, L-A-D-Y.com, to schedule a 15-minute phone consultation. And Lori, thank you so much. I mean, you are like a wealth of information. I can't believe, like, we're done. I mean, this is, you've given, like, I just feel like I've been in a tsunami of financial wisdom for the last 60 minutes. So
hope nobody fell asleep, but I try to keep it fun, you know, energetic and fun.
Absolutely. Gotta be. Because it for the people that are not familiar with investing, it can be overwhelming. I mean, let's face
Absolutely.
It can be overwhelming. I mean, you're saying, you know, the bear market, and you're throwing these terms around, but for the novice, I'm sure they're like, what? And what do I even look for an answer? But you've been able mm-hmm. to help us understand that, so thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. And I just hope, you know, even if people haven't followed everything, at least I hope I've engaged listeners in starting to, you know, think about these things. As long as it's a concept you want to know more about, then I've done my job.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, you can contact Lori at theoptionslady.com. Do that and let her know that you're a Success Circle or Profitability Lab member. And now, Lori, you are located in California, though, right?
That's right, in San Diego, but I serve clients all around the country. It's amazing what technology like Skype can do, not just the video, but screen sharing. This is how I'm able to, you know, people log into their accounts. I'm able to see what they're doing and counsel them and walk them through stuff. It's actually, frankly, sometimes better than being in person because we can actually see the same screen without reading glasses.
So I take it then most of your clients are over 40.
40, that's generous. Yeah, well, you know, it's funny because I'm 46 and we end up sort of, I think with many businesses, we end up working professional services. We end up working with people a lot like us, you know, around our age. And
right.
So, yeah, you'd be right about that.
Well, Lori, again, thank you so much for being here and really do appreciate it.
Thank you, Lisa. It was a lot of fun. I appreciate the invitation and look forward to hearing from folks if they think I can help them.
Sounds great. And thank you, everybody, for coming on today's Success Circle Business Accelerator call. And hello to the Profitability Lab members as well. And until next time, create a great life, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.